me just tell you what we're doing, because some of the chavrim not here last week. We're continuing to discuss the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. We're going to be starting to learn his Torahs from different svarim. Not tonight, not next week, probably the following week, and we'll be doing that for at least 2 months in Yitzhak Shem. Close to the time of Hanukkah, and then I expect that we're going to start to learn about the Devei Chaim, the Sons of Chaim HaLishnam, Mitzvah Hashem. But in the meantime, what I wanted to do was a reintroduction to the Torah of Baal Shem Tov. Even though over the years there isn't a talk that I give in shul where I don't discuss some of the principles of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. Nevertheless, to try to come to the inner point. Of what is it that's unique? What is it that's different? What did the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, what did he bring into the world? And that's what I wanted to talk about. And this is based upon the teachings of the Tzaddikim of Chabad and the contemporary teacher of Chabad, Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg in Eretz Yisrael, who has a unique understanding of Chabad Chassidus. But it doesn't only speak for Chabad, it speaks for all the Chassidim. So last week we were talking about the Or HaGonis, the hidden light of the Torah that allows a Jew, a tzaddik, to see from one end of the world to the other. The Or HaGonis that was hidden for the tzaddikim, that's reserved and saved for the tzaddikim, really we all have access to that. And the Baal Shem Tov, as the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote, in the Inyan HaShel Torah HaChassidus, the Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote, that the essential chiddush of the Baal Shem Tov was that every single Jew, no matter how unrefined he is, no matter how many problems he has, no matter what's gone wrong in his life, has access to that light, has access to the inner light of Torah, which will allow him to be able to come into contact with godliness. Now, what we're going to talk about now tonight is to continue along these lines and to understand a very, very basic teaching in Chassidus. And what is it, and why is it that the Baal Shem Tov is that last step before the coming of Mashiach is already the beginning of the taste of the light of Mashiach, is already in the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. Let's talk about first how things were until the Baal Shem Tov. Somebody asked me at the end of last week, so what was until the Baal Shem Tov? What happened until the Baal Shem Tov? So what was until the Baal Shem Tov, HaKadosh? Until the Baal Shem Tov, before the Baal Shem Tov, the general way that the world appeared, this world which is an Alma de Shikra, this world which is a world that's filled with confusion and falsehood, the world of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or as is described at the beginning of Eitz Chaim, the Ari HaKadosh, Reb Chaim Vital described as Ruba Rao Miyuto Taiv, which means that to a large extent the world is dark and there's a little bit of light. So what was before the Baal Shem Tov is that it appeared that there were two separate domains. There was a domain that was of Kedusha, of holiness, and there's a domain of Tumah of impurity. There's a domain of good, and there's a domain of evil. There was this world, and there was the world to come. And until the Baal Shem Tov, the general way of serving Hashem was that a person should have kavanah, that a person should have intentions, and all of his actions, all of his words, and all of his thoughts, to try to separate. And separation is the key word here, to separate between what is wrong and what is right, between what is evil and what is good. As a result of that, the essential avodah, the essential service of Hashem before the Baal Shem Tov was can be described as the process of distilling, of clarifying, of separating. Therefore, it's known in Chassidus as avodas habirurim, which is a very important term. Avodas habirurim. Like the melacha, like one of the 39 categories of work that we have on Shabbos, is called borer. Borer means taking that which is separating between that which is desirable and that which is undesirable. The avodas habirurim, this type of service of Hashem, is focusing on meticulous observance of the 613 mitzvahs, very careful observance of the 613 mitzvahs, to be an eved, to be a servant that is completely obedient to the master. And that's wonderful. The only problem is that because to a large extent the overall view of the world at that time was that there are these two, there's the domain of light, of good, and there's the world of this world of Olam Hazeh, which is primarily a world of darkness, of misery and of evil. So the care and meticulous observance of mitzvahs, when it's done, I'm talking about the masses of people. I'm not talking about great righteous tzaddikim. Of course, it's great tzaddikim. Great tzaddikim was serving Hashem through all the years, in the way that we'll discuss in a minute. But to a large extent, the way that the service of Hashem was taking place was without any kind of identifying on a deeper level. It's more that I was commanded by Hashem. I, a simple Jew in the 16th century, in the 15th century, in the 14th century, I am a servant. I was commanded by Hashem to do the following things, and I was commanded by Hashem to learn Torah and to daven and to perform the mitzvahs. And as a servant, I do what I'm told. And even though that's certainly very, very praiseworthy, and we all have to operate along those on that level as well, nevertheless, it was always, there's the king of the universe, and then there's me. And the difficulty in identifying myself with it, the same way that how could a servant identify with his master? It's very difficult to identify, to feel any sort of a unity, any sort of a oneness, any sort of a bonding between the servant and the master. The definition of the relationship is purely based upon the job that's done. If you do a good job, that's your job, and your job is not to fall into the evil, not to give in to the lie. The world is primarily dark. You have to try to make this separation between what is good and what is bad. And how do you know how to do that? By carefully observing the mitzvahs. By carefully observing the Torah, the instructions that came with us into this world. And by carefully observing the Torah, you will not fall into the trap of darkness. You will choose to be obedient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this way you will earn the place in the world to come. Therefore, because of the emphasis on this relationship of a servant to a master, the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that before the Baal Shem Tov, the primary emphasis was placed on Sur Meira. You know, the Dovid HaMelech said, Sur Meira V'Asei Tov, go away from the evil and do good. Certainly in that time period, until the Baal Shem Tov, which consisted mostly of what's called Avodas HaBirurim, the work of clarification, of separating between good and bad, of trying to distill that which is holy from that which is unholy, the emphasis was on what? The emphasis was on don't do avayers. Sur Meira. The emphasis was on Sur Meira, staying away from evil, and a great amount of attention was focused on Sur Meira. Therefore, if you look at the Musa texts before the Baal Shem Tov's time, if you look at the teachings before the Baal Shem Tov's time, with some notable exceptions, the two most notable exceptions are the Maral and the Shalach HaKadosh, but to a large extent, I would say almost 95% of the Musa was warnings and admonishment. Sur Meira, stay away from evil. This way you'll be able to connect to that which is good, and you'll be able to be obedient, you'll be able to be observant, and so on. As far as Asiyas HaTov was concerned, as far as doing good was concerned, if you look in the Svarim, before the Baal Shem Tov, the general approach was that your davening, you should know, is blemished, your davening is not pure, your davening is not holy. Your mitzvahs, as long as you have not removed all that is evil from your life, your mitzvahs are sorely lacking. Your Torah learning is also, to a great extent, lacking. And this was the general emphasis before the Baal Shem Tov's arrival. When the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh came, he was mechadish something. He strengthened a certain awareness, and that awareness was a reinterpretation of Sur Meira V'Asei Tov. Not that we don't have to worry about it. Of course we have to worry about avayers. Of course we have to stay away from bad things. But the emphasis of Baal Shem Tov was Sur Meira. Don't pay so much attention to the Ra. Sur Meira means go away from the Ra. Go away from it. Don't focus on the Ra. The Ikar is, the main thing is Asei Tov. Do the best you can. Asei Tov, to do good things. And Ma'at, a little bit of light is able to cast away a great deal of darkness. Therefore, immediately what the Baal Shem Tov set into motion was less of a focus on the Metzias, on the existence of Ra, because the Baal Shem Tov and his students insisted that in our generations, the generation is so weak. It's not because we're better than the early generations. Our generation is so weak that if we're going to tell Jews now that the only time that the only way that their mitzvahs are worthwhile or their davening or learning is worthwhile is after they've already clarified and removed and distilled all that is evil. So the Baal Shem Tov said that we're too weak. We're not going to be able to serve Hashem at all, and we're going to lose it. We're going to lose it completely. We see this even nowadays. We see this even nowadays in many places. What's happening with the kids in yeshivas and so on. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chassidim believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down into the world the Holy Baal Shem Tov, which was a new path, a new derech, that at this time in history, that the ikkar is that a person should be mizdabik b'tayv, that he should attach himself to that which is good, and that there is good and there is holiness that can be found anywhere and any time in his life, and in every single action, every single thing that he does, there is something good that's to be found. And with the goodness that is accomplished, all that is evil can be removed, can be rejected through the good. This avoda, that this way of serving Hashem, that the Baal Shem Tov was mechadish, is referred to in this form as avodas hayichudim, which is the way of serving Hashem by means of unification. I'm going to explain what this means, and we're going to learn inside in some of this form of kedusha. But it means the way of unification, avodas hayichudim, as opposed to avodas hibirurim. The meaning of that is, what's the meaning of the Avodas HaYichudim? Until now, every single thing that you look at has a chazak, it has the status of being dark, of being evil, and it's waiting and crouching to destroy you. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that he wasn't coming to start something new, he was coming to renew the way of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, it says by Avraham Avinu, Vayikra Sham B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. That Avraham Avinu called out in the name of Hashem, Kel Olam, God of the world. And the Baal Shem Tov taught that it says Kel Olam, it does not say Kel Ha'olam. It doesn't mean God of the world. There's a difference between Kel Olam and Kel Ha'olam. What's the difference? Kel Ha'olam means a distant master, means God of the world. God of the world. Kel Olam means He is the God that dwells within everything in the world. He is the God of the world. In English, he is God within the world. God is in the world. He's the Kel Olam. That means every single shtick, every single piece of the world is filled with godliness.
Separate
universe is an intrinsic. Right. The intrinsic essence of all creation is God. Not Kel Ha'olam, but Kel Olam. God of the world in the world. In other words, what happened here is that until now, I'm a servant and he's the master. A servant can do his job, but he can't really identify. You can't really, you can't really schmooze, you can't really get comfortable. You can't really be yourself. You're a servant. And of course, we always have that we have a part of that in our relationship with Hashem all the time. But on the other hand, the Avodas HaYichudim says instead of focusing entirely on distilling, separating, on pulling away from that which is wrong, Avodas HaYichudim means that every single thing in the world is a means of becoming attached to Hashem. Is a means of becoming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Nachman says that in the beginning he says in one time Lekutei Maran on the pasuk Sifsei Kohen Yishmur Das V'Torah Yivakesh Mipiyu. So it says Sifsei Kohen, the lips of the Kohen. What mida? What characteristic is the characteristic of the Kohen? Chesed, right? Loving kindness. So it says Sifsei Kohen Yishmur Das V'Torah. Those first letters of Sifsei Kohen Yishmur Das V'Torah spell Shidduch. Shidduch, to make a match. Sifsei Kohen Yishmuru Das. Das means the ability to join two things together. The quality of the Kohen is Chesed, is loving kindness. The Baal Shem Tov taught, the Baal Shem Tov said, that at every single moment of my life, I can make a Shidduch. What kind of a Shidduch can I make? I can make a Shidduch between myself and God. How? By thinking that at this moment, when I'm doing this thing, there's an aspect of godliness, and as we're going to talk about for the next few months, there's something holy in this. There's potential holiness here. By speaking, by saying a l'shem yichud, by saying words, by saying when a Jew says a good word, even if it's not a word of Torah tefillah, if it's a word of encouragement, whatever it might be, and certainly when a Jew does a good action, this is called avodas hayichudim. The reason Rabbi Nachman said that sifsei kohen yishmur das v'torah spells the word shidduch, because he said that it's through the midah of chesed, instead of running away. Fear always means separation. When you're afraid, you retreat. When you're afraid, the servant is afraid of the master, and therefore he retreats from the master. As the Baal Shem Tov came along and said that we have to make shidduchim between us and God. We've already spent many thousands of years
with this avoda of clarification, of distilling, of separating the good from the evil, which requires primarily fear. Fear, being afraid of being of this, of being disobedient, being afraid of entering into the realm of evil. And now the time has come, the Baal Shem Tov's neshama was sent to this world to bring about the avoda through loving kindness, through a positive view of the world, through the eyes of the Kohen, Sifsei Kohen, Yishmu Das, Das means to connect, to bring together, that the eyes of Chesed, to make the Shidduchim, that a Jewish person, instead of running, instead of being afraid, instead of retreating, that he would be able to make Shidduchim with Hashem in every single aspect of his life. This is something that even in the physical world, this Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, who before he became a Baal Tshuva and spent many years learning, becoming a big Talmud Chacham, he was a mathematician, he was a physicist. So he said that we see this process, these two ways of serving Hashem, avodas habirur, distilling, clarifying and separating, as opposed to the avodah of yichudim, of unifying, we see this in nature itself. And he says it's called fission and fusion. Fission and fusion. And he explains in a very simple way, obviously those who are more familiar with these terms would be able to understand it on a deeper level, but he says that we see even in nature, both processes of fission and fusion are for the purpose of revealing energy, the amazing amount of energy that's hidden in creation. Both of these processes, fission and fusion, are for the purpose of unleashing great power, of unleashing great energy. What's the difference? So he explained the difference is that in the process of fission, the point there is to break down the molecules, to break down the particles and so on, and in doing so, by the process of distilling, of breaking down, of separating, of taking apart, energy is unleashed. But the process is a process that breaks down. Similarly, in Avodas HaBirurim, where we separate between good and evil, what's kosher, what's not kosher? Is this allowed, is this forbidden? Is this good, is this bad? So the physical process that's known as fission is the process whereby energy is unleashed, holiness is unleashed, but the process is focusing on the separation, the breaking down, the retreat, and the separation of that takes place within reality. On the other hand, the derech of the Baal Shem Tov, which is the derech as we're approaching Mashiach, the way of Mashiach, is the way of fusion, where there energy is going to be released, but is dafka released by bringing together, by fusion. Fusion means by bringing together different particles that are brought together in order to bring about this remarkable unleashing of energy. So even in these two movements that are taking place in all of reality, of fission, breaking apart, separating, taking away, and fusion, bringing together, really represent the two periods in history, before the Baal Shem Tov and after the Baal Shem Tov. Before the Baal Shem Tov, the ikkar was, don't do it, it's wrong. Be a loyal servant, what's permitted, what's forbidden. That's the ikkar. Of course, we still have to be 100% obedient. I'm going to emphasize that each time. But the focus in our generation before Mashiach, where our generation already has become so weakened through history, the focus now, from the Baal Shem Tov and on, the focus is what? Is not on the fission, but on the fusion, of making shidduchim. In other words, here is something, I'm at work. Now, if you would hear in the old Musa talks would say that, you know, you're at work. If you're going to the workplace, you have to understand that you're going to have every single moment, you're going to be involved in a struggle and a war. And if you learn the Musa Svaram, the Musa Svaram will tell you, the chances are 99.9, you're going to fail. And therefore, you should know that you're davening, you're learning, all your mitzvahs are suspect, because after all, you spend your entire day in a place that's unholy, and so on. And the best you could do is to try as much as possible to extract and separate, to go through this process of fission, and in doing so, to create some positive energy. That was the focus. Whereas the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh came along and said, no. Of course, 100% observance of halacha and care to be taken in every detail of halacha, every single detail of halacha. But the emotional, intellectual emphasis, spiritual emphasis must be placed on elsewhere. And that is, I'm here at this moment in this place. What good can I find here in this place? There's a Jew that works in this place, and this Jew hasn't had a Pesach, you know, in 25 years. Okay, let's talk about Pesach. Maybe invite him over for a Yontif. I'm here. I have in this place, I have a certain, maybe I have a few minutes here and there that I could have maybe to learn something. Or in my relations with people, I can make a Kiddush Hashem. Everybody knows you're an Orthodox person, and the way that you talk to people, the way that you relate to employees or to employers, is a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And so on. How one makes a bracha. This is an opportunity to do something that's special. This is an opportunity that I could use in every single word, thought, and action that something can take place. And this that's called Avodas HaYichudim. And here we have a very deep teaching for the Baal Shem Tov. And I'll just ask, it's just three or four lines, but I'll ask, you know, for forgiveness, because I left the Svarim in Shul and I went to school. I forgot to take me to Fodestat. But it's a couple of lines. There's a teaching from the Baal Shem Tov himself in Keser Shem Tov, which is actually a Lubavitcher compilation of teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, but it's taken. The Baal Shem Tov was not a Lubavitcher, as much as Lubavitchers would like to have this thing. The Baal Shem Tov was not a Lubavitcher. The Baal Shem Tov was before any of that. So, but the Baal Shem Tov, the Lubavitchers put together quite some time ago, really traced back even before that, a very, very important Likut compilation of teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, which they published. It's from before, but it was published by them. They brought over here the beginning of Keser Shem Tov, in Oz Tes, really a remarkable teaching. He's explaining a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says in Mishlei, the pasuk says, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. The one who has a wise heart will grab mitzvos, will take mitzvos. Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. So the Baal Shem Tov has a unique explanation of what does that mean. The one who has a wise heart will take mitzvos. Baal Shem Tov says, Mishu Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. What does that mean, Yikach Mitzvos? Perish lekasher maaseh hamitzvah she'oseh, the one who has a wise heart will connect the actual physical mitzvah that he's performing, the maaseh mitzvah that he's doing, shenikra mitzvah tata, that is called the lower aspect of the mitzvah, liyachta, and he will connect it el mitzvah el yoyne, to the higher aspect of the mitzvah, shehiyamachshav, which is the thought, Bakavon and the intention of the heart shalom mitzvah. Zeh shomrim al mitzvah achas, and that's the Baal Shem Tov explains. Why do we say when we're doing one mitzvah, Asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav, in the plural. Asher kedushanu, Hashem command me. In other words, when I'm taking a lulav, of course, the simple pshat is that Hashem commanded me all the commandments. But when I take a lulav, I say, I have one mitzvah in my hand, and I say, Asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav. Hashem commanded me regarding his commandments, in the plural. So Baal Shem Tov is, why does it say b'mitzvosav? It should say this mitzvah. In the mitzvah of lulav, in the mitzvah of whatever the mitzvah is, what's b'mitzvosav? So he says, this is the deeper teaching of Shlomo Melech, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvos. The one who has a wise heart, he takes the mitzvahs. But what does it mean, the mitzvahs? So the Baal Shem Tov taught that there are two levels, and that there are two levels in the performance of every mitzvah. The one level of physically shaking the lulav, physically picking up the lulav, that's called the mitzvah tata, the lower physical realm of the mitzvah. Then you have the intention, the thought, that you invest into that physical act. The Baal Shem Tov said that's called the mitzvah ilah, that's called the higher mitzvah. When we do a mitzvah, we say, Asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav, Hashem, you sanctify me with your mitzvahs, in the plural, the Baal Shem Tov says, not talking about two or three mitzvahs, it's talking about Hashem through the bracha, which is there to strengthen my preparation and my connection to this mitzvah. When I make this bracha, I'm saying, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Not only am I going to lift up the lulav of my hands and just do it like a monkey, I'm not going to do it like a monkey, but I'm going to what? Asher kedushanu b'mitzvosav, I'm going to unify, I'm going to make a shidduch between my physical act of holding the lulav and what? My emotional, spiritual, intellectual presence of mind and heart to connect to the mitzvah. And in doing so, The mitzvah is done b'shleimus, in wholeness, in perfection. In other words, it's called mitzvos of chacham lev yikach mitzvos, because every single mitzvah really has two parts. And therefore the Baal Shem Tov taught that the mitzvah, the word mitzvah itself comes from the word tzavta, not tzavta, which is a grandmother, but tzavta with a tzadik, tzadik vav vav tav aleph. Tzadik vav tav aleph means to connect, to bond. And the Baal Shem Tov said that in the way of serving Hashem through yichudim, through unification, when I do the physical act of the mitzvah, and I concentrate and think to the pnimius, to the inner essence of what the mitzvah means, to the essence, to the neshama, to the soul of this mitzvah, and I have in mind ledav kabo, to attach myself to God. It, when I do that, when I am creating the most wondrous shidduch between the physical lower aspect of the mitzvah and the higher spiritual realm of the mitzvah, and only then is the mitzvah b'shleimus, is it a whole mitzvah. That's why, and this is one of the things that the misnagdim were upset about. It sounds very harmless. It sounds beautiful, huh? But what's wrong with that? So, because the tzaddikim taught that even when you're learning Torah, we have many stories like that. When the Kedushas Levi, when the Moshe Lev Sasi, when they would learn Torah, they'd be learning Gemara on the deepest level, like the huge Talmid Chacham. They'd be learning like any other Rav, any other Talmid Chacham that was teaching Torah. And even in the middle of a Shir, the Kedushas Levi used to give Shirim every day in Gemara. And he would stop in the middle, and he all of a sudden would say, L'shaim, and I'm learning Torah, to attach myself to the Baruch Shalom. And this, of course, the Misnagdim were very upset about, you know, be quiet and finish the Shir. I mean, what are you doing? Because the whole pshat in Torah Lishma, according to the tzaddikim, according to the Talmid Baal Shem, the Torah Lishma means L'shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means L'shem HaMitzvah. And this is the machlokes between Rav Chaim Volozhin and the Baal Tanya, even though the Baal Tanya was, no one could say it was against learning, but the nekuda that separated between them was that, how do we define Torah for its own sake? Is it for the sake of Torah, or is it for the sake of attachment to Hashem? And we're going to talk about that, Hashem, a great deal when we study the teachings of the Baal Shem, that the purpose of studying Torah is to be attached to the master of the world. It's to attach yourself to God. Now you say, what do you mean? Of course, what else is it? It's not so partial. It's not so simple. And the definition of Torah Lishma is found in Nefesh HaChaim by the great Sadhu, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the teachings of the Vilna Gaon, and the definition of what does it mean, Torah for its own sake. Here there's a very big difference of opinion. But the point is that in every mitzvah that a Jew is performing, he's to bring about this yichud, this unification. In other words, when I do the physical mitzvah, the physical mitzvah itself is on the level of birurim. The physical mitzvah alone means, what am I doing? I'm separating myself from things that are wrong, and I'm choosing to do what's right. Okay, so instead of being stingy, I take out a coin from my pocket and I try to help out somebody, right? So I'm physically doing what's right, and doing so, I have chosen good, and I've distilled it from evil. Evil is what? In the world, people in general, there's not caring, they're apathetic, and so on. And I look at this world and I say, no, I'm not going to be that way. This guy needs me. Take out a couple of bucks and you help him out. So good. You've done the physical mitzvah, and in doing so, you have performed a birur. You have clarified and distilled the good from the evil. Yofi. That's beautiful. It's very chashuv. But the Baal Shem Tov said that still is only the mitzvah tata. You're still on some level a prisoner of a negative view of life. That all I have to do in this world is not to do bad and to try to do good. Beautiful. That's good. That's halavai. We should all be zayichet to do that. We should all do that. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said that there's a higher level of yichudim, of unification, that stop and think, what does it mean? What does tzedakah mean? And try to learn, to understand, what is tzedakah? And to get to the pnimius of the mitzvah, to have the right intentions and so on, that even a simple Jew, on a simple level, can understand how to bring about this connection between the higher level of the mitzvah and the lower level of the mitzvah. This is a preparation for the days of Mashiach. This is why the tzaddikim, the students of Baal Shem Tov learned, they understood that the teachings of Baal Shem Tov are the beginning of the days of Mashiach is with the teachings of Baal Shem Tov. Again, the Misnagim left all these things and this is ridiculous, and the Baal Shem Tov and Mashiach, but the tzaddikim, the Talmid of Baal Shem Tov believe that this is the beginning of Torah Mashiach because when Mashiach will come, there will be a complete and total reunification between all the physical things that we do in this world, and our spiritual thoughts, our feelings, our intentions. Right now, there's a separation between those two. The shidduch that Mashiach is going to make, a great shidduch, the shidduch he's going to make is between what we do and what we think, what we do and what we feel. How is it possible that people can stand in shul and say the words and they're not even thinking about what they're saying? If you think about it, it's ludicrous. It's ludicrous. Right? Exactly. Yulurotsan and Mayfi, Vehegyonli Bila Fanef. You think, why do I have to even say such a thing? Why have to even say such a thing? I'm standing there and I'm saying Ashrei. I'm talking to the Baruch Shalom. And this is already, I'm speaking to him. It's hard, you understand, you pick up a lulav. You're not saying something. But here you're davening, you're talking to him. And while you're talking to him, you know, you could be, you know, saying, you have to cut my nails before Shabbos. And then, I was someplace a couple of months ago where I got, one morning, I was running someplace, I davened somewhere. And there's a guy, I'm telling you the truth, there was a guy that was holding in the middle of Pesukim Zimra, and he took out his little, he was saying, while he was saying, he took out his machine to look up some stuff for the day. He was doing stuff on his little computer, in a front place. He was doing his little computer thing, you know, with the, what's it called, that thing with the pencil or whatever. Yeah, he was doing that, and while he was, he didn't stop babbling. He just stopped davening. That's the deeper meaning of down the kafskus. Kaf means the palm, right? That's when you're down the kafskus.
That's what
the Kabbalah says. Oh, so then to say, so, right, to make a yichud and how to think of that Jew and the rabbi.
Speaking to Hashem directly.
Yeah, but you know, so he probably was, but when it comes to people like us, when it comes to people like us, so you know how it is, the distraction, and we're talking to him. When Mashiach will come, there won't be any separation anymore. We can't even imagine what that means. There won't be one word that we'll ever say that won't come straight from the heart. There won't be one time that when we'll do a mitzvah, but when we're going to eat on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it will never happen that we won't be thinking every single second, This is the Shabbos Kodesh, and I'm bringing about a tikkun for this food, and I'm doing all these things. It says in the Svar, every single thing that we're going to do is going to be filled with light of those two worlds coming together, above and below, which is the Avodas HaYichudim, which is what the Baal Shem Tov was talking. Every single teaching of the Baal Shem Tov is saying that Avodah Begashmias, that you don't only serve Hashem in shul, and you don't only serve Hashem in yeshiva and besmedrash, but you're serving Hashem every single second. Therefore, until the Baal Shem Tov, was it an honorable thing? Was an honorable thing? Till this day, you can go to where they are chassidim, and you'll see a guy that during the day he's walking around in filthy clothing, carpenter clothes, whatever it is, schlepping, or he's driving some kind of truck, right? And then you see him Friday after the mikveh, walks into shul, and you're ready to put him on your tzaddik picture. Because mom is like, he stands in halachadoi. There was always that the simple working people, the peasants, they're not the rabbanim, they're not the gedolim. The rabbanim, the gedolim, they have a certain thing. And the simple people, they're peasants. Plain and posh, they're peasants. And you act, okay, you talk, okay, you go. And the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh came along and said to the simple Jews, so remember, I don't listen to these things, I say to you, and you should know that even in the physical job that you're doing, you could be miyachid yichudim. You make yichudim. This is not something that we don't find in the Chazal. We have many teachings like this in Chazal. And nevertheless, the Baal Shem Tov emphasized that this is the ikar avodah before Mashiach comes, because that's what's going to be when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, every single act is going to be filled with that kedusha, with that holiness. It's going to be a state of asher kedushon b'mitzvah, so that brings about this unbelievable unification. Therefore, Rav Ginzburg says an astounding thing. This was his discovery, that if you take the word mitzvahs, mem tzadik vav sof, mitzvahs, you can spell two vavs with one vav, mitzvahs equals exactly the gematria, birurim yichudim. Birurim and yichudim. Exactly the gematria of mitzvahs. Distilling and unifying. Right? Distilling. Fission and fusion. In the gematria, the exact gematria of the word mitzvahs. Therefore, we have to now understand, why did Hashem Taka do this? Why did Hashem do this? Why did Hashem want the world to go in such a way that the birurim, yichudim, and so on? What's the tachlis? What's the point of all of this? We understand. I mean, we're going to learn this in the Tanya next week. We're not going to be able to do it this week. But just by way of introduction. But in other words, why bother with Birurim? Let's get straight to the Yichudim, to the good stuff. What do we need the Birurim for? So there's all thousands of years of distilling and clarifying and trying not to fall into the Tumah and all the stuff that we're still struggling with. Like, why? We have a taste of the Yichudim now, but it's still, Mashiach hasn't come. So primarily we're worried not to do a virus, to try to be good. So why did the Baruch Shalom make it in such a way? So this is really a very deep thing in all of creation. We're going to study this. This is all introducing concepts that we're going to now spend the next couple of weeks talking about. Lahitzi Yakar Mizayla means that the world was created in such a way, and I'm not going to get into Kabbalistic concepts, but on a very simple level, the world, as you know, was created in such a way where there was a cataclysmic event, of Kadosh Baruch Hu, that took place at the very beginning, where holiness, souls that were holy, sparks of holiness fell into galus, into impurity, and when I'm studying Torah and I'm learning this is right and this is wrong, this is forbidden, this is permitted, when I'm involved in that work of birurim, when I pull myself away from something that's bad and I do something that's good, so in doing that, the Svar Makadoshim, as we'll see in the Tanya, teach us that in doing that, the person is actually bringing about he's actually removing, he's removing from the prison of, and the gullus, the prison and the exile of evil, he's removing that which is holy. He's taking it out of the prison of darkness and of impurity. And that is the taklis of man's creation. The taklis of man's creation is, that even though, it appears that everything in this world is dark and is ugly in truth, there are things that are very, very holy and very, there are things that are very holy and very beautiful that are contained, that are imprisoned in the impurity. And therefore, each and every time that I go about this avodas habirurim, that I separate myself from something that's wrong, and I try to do what's right, that on some level is a Yetzias Mitzrayim. What does it mean, Yetzias Mitzrayim? What does it mean to leave Egypt? Leaving Egypt means that you're in the 49th level of impurity, like our people were. When we were in Egypt, we were on the 49th level of impurity. And leaving Egypt, that process of Yetzias Mitzrayim means that which is holy is removed from the filth and the tumah of Egypt. And that's something very precious in God's eyes. It's very important. It's very beautiful. It's very deep. To try to separate the holy from the unholy. That is called Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving Egypt. On the other hand, that's Avodas Habirurim. On the other hand, the higher level of serving Hashem, which is called Avodas HaYichudim, unification, that higher way of serving Hashem, that's not like leaving Egypt. That's like coming to Eretz Yisrael. What does it say about Eretz Yisrael? The pasuk says, Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Dareisho Sa Tamid Eini Hashem Elokecha Ba. Eretz Yisrael is a land. If we want to say, what's the difference between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael? Again, I don't know if you could say this nowadays, but if we would say, what's the difference between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael? The difference is that in Chutz La'aretz there's tons and tons of shmutz, and you have to swim through all the garbage and dirt to be able to find something that's good. That's the general experience of having Chutz La'aretz. To try, you know, as many Shomer Shabbos groceries as you have, the mitzvahs of the Jewish people historically in Golos has been that you're overwhelmed by darkness and you try to find some light. On the other hand, that's therefore you try to leave Mitzrayim. I try to escape from my life. I'm trying to run away. And therefore, even when we left Mitzrayim, Paro was coming after us. It means that in Golus, before Mashiach comes, even when we're successful and we go away from the Aveira, it follows us. We feel that we're pursued by it. We feel that we can't get away from it completely. You know, it just troubles us. It doesn't leave us alone, the Aveira. But coming to Eretz Yisrael is different. Eretz Yisrael, the experience of Eretz Yisrael is no longer how do I run away from evil. The experience of Eretz Yisrael is that now I'm in a place which is good. And Avodas HaYichudim means the same way it says about Eretz Yisrael, Eini Hashem Elokecha Ba, that the eyes of Hashem are always upon the land. That means that in Eretz Yisrael, in that state of redemption, one can sense Hashem's presence, Hashem's eyes everywhere. Why is it so difficult in Golos? Because we don't feel Hashem's presence. Again, this doesn't mean that if you go to Tel Aviv, you're going to feel Hashem's presence. You know, it's easier probably to make a mistake in Tel Aviv than it is in New York. Because unfortunately, there's a Golos in Eretz Yisrael as well. As we all know, there's a Golos in Eretz Yisrael. But in the ideal state of what Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be, and the way that it will be, it's not running away from Egypt. It's not that I have to. It's not that I have to be afraid that the power is running after me every second. It means Eretz Yisrael means that Kedusha, this is the way that I live. I feel God's presence everywhere. I feel Him. I'm connected to Him. It's not that I have to look for Him and try to push away all the craziness to find a little bit of godliness, but that I'm mamish completely surrounded and immersed entirely in godliness. So here, we're no longer talking about sparks of holiness that are imprisoned, that are trapped in Golos. We're talking here about the next stage, where we see that everything in the world is a shlich, is sent from Hashem to bring you closer to Him. In Eretz Yisrael, when Mashiach will come, everything in the world will see is being sent straight, a gift from Hashem to bring me to Him. Can you imagine? What if you have to go on the F train or the E train? That's like some messenger from God to make you a better Jew. No, you're thinking, I can't. I think this is sick. How much longer do I have to go on with this ridiculous life? What am I doing down here with this? What am I? No, what kind of a life is this? And then you stop and you say, you know what? All right, let me. And you take out a mission. You try to look a little bit in the mission, or you try to close your eyes, you know, to be a Jew. But think of it. That's how we live. That's not the final. That's not the end. There's great holiness in that. And we're going to learn that in the Tanya next week. There's great holiness in that, of separating between good and evil. It's unbelievable. It's fixing what Adam HaRishon is trying to, you know, the Eitz HaDaas Torah, good and evil. It's an amazing thing. However, that's not the Tachlis. The Tachlis is, I no longer have to try to sneak out of Mishnah on the train. I no longer have to try to find a spark of good that's imprisoned in filth and to try somehow to redeem it from filth. That's how our experience goes. And that was the usual, that was the way of Klal Yisrael in general until the Baal Shem Tov. That was the emphasis of Avodas HaBirurim. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh introduced, it's not finished by any means, it's not time yet, but the Baal Shem Tov introduced this concept of everything in the world being a shliach to bring you closer to God. Somehow to bring you closer to God. Therefore, all of the Baal Shem Tov's teachings can be probably summed up in the one pasuk, B'chol drechecha de'ehu, know God in all your ways. B'chol drechecha de'ehu, in all your ways to know Hashem. That means that in every single experience of life, Hashem is bringing you something into your life that you can, that can be used to make you into a better Jew. Not that this is being brought into my life to test me. In other words, the opening sentence of Mesil Sesharim, the beginning of Mesil Sesharim, of course, is that everything in the world is a test. You're right? I mean, the beginning of Mesil Sesharim is, what? To know that it's the idol of Nisyonis. Everything is a test. Now, when you take a Jew who's uneducated, he hardly knows, he can barely read a Rashi. He never went to yeshiva. He went to yeshiva, and in those days of the Baal Shem Tov, how long were they able to go to yeshiva? You think they were sitting around like we are all these years? Right? They sat a little bit, right? And that's good to work. They were working when they were 12 years old. 10, 11, 12 years old, they were working. And they're working 16, 17 hours, back-breaking work. So you take a Jew like that. So you tell him that a Jew that doesn't know, that can't understand, that he's not holding by Bechlau. He's not holding by anything. So what do you? He has an opportunity to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu in his life at this moment. No, the overall emphasis was that it's a losing ball game. I'm lost. I can't do it. I don't have the artillery. I don't have the equipment. How am I supposed to contend with the world? How am I supposed to contend with the world? The world is killing me. It's overwhelming me. And therefore, there was a certain weakness. There was a weakness. But the Baal Shem Tov came to empower Klal Yisrael, that feeling that every single second of life, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done in your life, this moment is an opportunity to draw closer to Hashem. Now we can understand the famous a sentence from the famous letter of from the famous letter of the Baal Shem Tov that we've studied in the past. There's only one authentic letter that we have that's absolutely agreed upon that's authentic, the letter that he sent to his brother-in-law that never reached his brother-in-law, we spoke about before the summer, Reb Gershon Kitover. And in that letter we have that the Baal Shem Tov is describing his Dali's Neshama, that his soul went up to Shemayim, and he experienced some remarkable spiritual thing. And the Baal Shem Tov wrote to his brother-in-law, V'sha'alti es pi Mashiach. And I asked Mashiach himself, the Baal Shem Tov soul met Mashiach Tzikein in Shemayim. And he said, Sha'alti is Pi Mashiach. I asked Mashiach, Amosai Kaz Simar. Sir, when are you coming into the world? The Heshev, and he answered, Bizos Teda, listen to this. The Mashiach gave the Baal Shem Tov a sign. This is the sign of my arrival. When your teachings will become publicized, when your teachings will become known, and will be revealed in the world, and your wellsprings will flow forth. What I taught you, what Mashiach taught the Baal Shem Tov, Mashlimati Oscha v'hisakto. When the Jewish people will be able to perform yichudim, unifications like you. The Oz, he says, Yikolu kalaklipas, then all evil will be destroyed via Ace Ratzon of Yeshua, will be the time of salvation. So the Baal Shem Tov goes on the letter to say that he grew weary. How long would such a thing take? Right? How long could such a thing take? When will this happen? And he was frightened when the Baal Shem Tov looked into the future. When will this happen? So when we read that, you know, when you first read that letter, I mean, when all the Jewish people and every Jew will be able to perform yichudim like you, wow, we'll be able to perform unifications like the Baal Shem Tov. So we understand when you learn, if you look a little bit in Kabbalah, yichudim is a deep thing with Hashem's names. You know, you can go to the Sforum to get by Sidur, but that, or you open the Sidur, you have thousands of names of Hashem. You don't even know what it means, right? Even if you look into the Sfarad Shesidr, the Sfarad Shesidr, right? You look and you see, well, this shame is going around here. And what, Yehudim? I'm going to make unifications of Hashem's name. I can barely spell it. I don't know what's Yehudim. The different names and so on. But the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the L'Kshayafutza Ma'inasecha Chutza, that the Baal Shem Tov, that the wellspring of the Baal Shem Tov should flow forth into the world, it's not something Kabbalistic. It's not something Kabbalistic. We don't believe that it's Kabbalistic. The Yichud in the Baal Shem Tov was to take that guy, that truck driver, that he should be able to experience godliness also in his day. The Yichud means to do a physical thing that's imbued with something meaningful. That's the Yichud. When your teaching will go forth into the world, don't run away from the world. Don't retreat from the world. You don't have to hide from God is here too. God is in everything. Elokus can be found everywhere. And during these past 300 years, since the birth of the Baal Shem Tov, there have risen in the world great, exalted, and holy tzaddikim, the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim of his Talmidim, that have been teaching ways of Yichudim from the beginning. In every Chassidus Sefer that you learn, in every single teaching of Chassidus, it's the way of Yichudim, it's what we're going to take for granted, and we're going to feel, and we're going to experience automatically. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be our way of experiencing life. It's going to be our understanding of life. Now, how this all, to learn this inside properly, so Mitzvah Shem, you know, actually, I forgot, we have tinies downstairs, we have a bunch of tinies downstairs. But anyway, Lamais, I really have to get back to this chasna, that's not so nice, I'm in the middle of the center. So we'll continue Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue Mitzvah Shem next week, we're going to learn a piece in Tanya. And then we're going to start to learn, maybe something from Avkuk, I also want to do that, that's connected to this. And then we're going to start to learn the Baal Shem Tov's teachings, through the Summer Kedoshim for the next, Mitzvah for the next month or two. Hashakai.